blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in God's house again this morning? Isn't it good to be God's house this morning? Aren't you glad He lives in you? Give Him another big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Blow your heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we had church here last night, didn't we? How many of you enjoyed Brother Tim Burdett's message last night? Praise the Lord. It's good to be part of the family. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's look at our prayer request as we stand just for a few minutes. I want to remember Sister Gail Clark not feeling well today. Let's pray for her as we pray. Brother Matt Keith says to please pray for Sister Judy. Keith having a rough time with hip and back pain. So let's pray for that need this morning. Brother Rob Weber and his family want to thank the Lord Jesus for meeting a financial need. Praise the Lord for His faithfulness. So thank God for that this morning. Please remember my nephew, William Quillen, I believe that is. William Quillen in prayer. He goes in the hospital on Tuesday for back surgery. Sister Sims sends that in, so let's remember that need today. Brother Robert Marrero sent in a request this morning for his mother. She's undergoing a very severe asthma attack right now, so they're asking that we would remember her in prayer. Sister Vitti Grillo would like to praise the Lord and thank the saints for praying. She had a liver infection and is now on the mend, and she wants to thank the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something this morning you'd like for this group to pray about, we know we're serving a God that's bigger than any problem that we face. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Brother Skip, I want you to come this morning, if you would. Lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service today. Are you glad to be in church this morning? God bless you, Betty.
So I'll just pray together. Dear Lord, You know that we hate this humanity, Lord, that we live in every day. There's sickness, Lord, in the world and in our bodies and troubles in our homes and our lives and our families. But God, You chose that, Lord, to show Your way and show us and show Yourselves in this age. We ask You, Father, to heal each one here that's sick, Lord. We know You're a healer. God, all we need is faith, Lord. We know it's done. It's a done deal, Lord. We just have to believe it, Father. And God, we want to walk according to Your word, and we want to see more and more of that godly part of us, Lord. We're tired of this humanity, Lord. We just want to draw near to You and live a life worthy of the gospel, Father. We ask You to be with us now as we're hearing wonderful things, Father. We just want to rise up to it, Lord, and live it and understand it, Lord. And may it be revealed. May it be a rhema to us, Lord God. These wonderful things, it's God's faith. If it ever drops in our heart, it's all done. It's all finished, Lord. We ask You to forgive us for being a baby, Lord, but just help us draw near to You, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Brother Skip. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. We're so glad to have all of you in the service today. If you're visiting with us, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming this service, may God richly bless those folks as well. You give us unto the Lord. Somebody requested that we sing this song again. So we've sung it twice already. We'll sing it one more time until it gets a little age on it. And then we'll try to learn something new. Try to have practice as much as we possibly can to learn some new things. Let me make this announcement. Please have all youth 13 years and older meet in the fellowship hall after service today. So remember that, 13 years old and older. Please meet in the fellowship hall after service today for just a little bit. Somebody wants to see you over there. Hope it's not the law. So let's sing a song this morning. How many of you feel like you're rich this morning? What's the rest of you feel like? About like me? In debt up to here? Well, we're not rich pocketbook-wise. But oh, aren't you so glad that we're rich over yonder on the other side? That's where our treasures are laid up. Aren't you glad about that? My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I believe I own at least one. I stand amazed when I see his face, knowing I'm his son. And I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving.
with me everywhere. When I need my Father up in heaven,
oh yes,
I pray such a simple prayer. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be bringing to the mansion just for the ring of glory, for I'm a rightful heir. He has cleansed me, forgiven me of all my sins.
Oh, he took me in.
He's building me a mansion beyond repair.
Hallelujah,
I'm a millionaire.
I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to the mansion just for the glory, for I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share.
He has cleansed me, forgiven me of all my sins. He took me in. He's building me a mansion beyond compare.
Hallelujah, we're a millionaire. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus just before we change the order of the service. We're going to let you be seated just in a minute. But let's sing this little chorus together this morning. He's my Lord. Aren't you glad that you can say He is your Lord? He's your Savior. He's your provider. He's the best friend you'll ever have in this world. And He can be the Lord of your life. That's what we want Him to be, the Lord of our life. You believe that? Let's sing this little chorus together this morning, if you will. He's my Lord. There is no other one who can calm the storms of life like my Lord.
New life to
somebody say praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. We're going to try to, I believe we can do it. We're going to try to work three songs in this morning. So singers, if you'll sing fast, and players, if you'll play fast, we'll get them done. Brother John, ever how you got that group arranged this morning? Brother Eric Johnson's got us a song this morning. And Brother Brad and Sister Sarah, ever how they got that arranged, they can get ready to sing this morning. We enjoyed these folks the last time they sung for us, didn't we? So I don't know, is your sister going to help you this morning? Well, that's the highlight of the group, I'll tell you that right now. So get her up here.
Is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. When striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost his grip on me. I am his, and he is mine. of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Always wore those worn-out flip-flops. Spent hours in his daddy's workshop. He loved being on the water, fishing with his friends. He always listened to the old folks. They tell stories and life goes. Didn't talk back to his mama, she got on to him. Oh, that's just the way he was raised. Had to finish all his chores for he could go outside and they always went to church. That's where he learned how to pray. And that's just the way for grace. He grew his hair out when he got older, grew it clear down to his shoulders, started hanging with the outcasts when he went off town. Some called him a troublemaker, even some said a lawbreaker. No matter how they talked about him, never put nobody down. 'Cause that's just the way he was raised. The God says he just walked away. He always loved his neighbor, no matter what. That long-haired boy was killed, all our sins washed away when he walked out of that grave. Oh, that's just the way he was raised. There's no way we could measure the sacrifice he made. He knew he had die for our debt to be paid. Oh, that's just the way he was raised. It took the hand of God to roll the stone away. And that's just the way he was raised. Yeah, that's just the
of fear gripped the crowd that day at Jairus' home, when the doctor shook his head and said, "She's gone." You could feel that father's heartbreak. You could hear them crying, "Lord." Their little girl was only 12 years old. Somewhere in the distance, outlined against the sun, there came a man with a mission from the throne. They said, "Look, somebody's coming." But what they did not know, it was their promise coming down that dusty road.
And there's a promise coming down that dusty road. From his holy hands, healing virtue flows. He's got the key to what you need. Death and hell he did defeat. There's a promise coming down that dusty road.
Their wonder turned to mocking when Jesus did speak. He said, your daughter's not dead, she's just asleep. Then he turned to the unbelievers and he told them all, go home. They heard him say, leave me and death alone. Then he laid his hands upon the child. He looked death right in the eye. He said, all power in heaven and earth belong to me. And with a voice that sounds like thunder, he hurled death asunder. And he said, little child, rise and be healed.
There's a promise coming down that dusty road. He's got the key to what you need. Death and hell he did defeat. There's a promise coming down that dusty road.
Well,
there's a promise coming down your dusty road. And from his holy hands healing virtue flows. He's got the key to what you need.
Praise the Lord. Some wonderful songs today, wasn't it? Let's turn, if you would, to St. John chapter 6. Appreciate the privilege of being able to be together again today in the presence of God. And know that we've not come through a form or a ritual or just a routine because it's Sunday morning, but to know that the Almighty God has gathered here with us today.
Amen.
To speak to us and minister to us.
Amen.
The words of Jesus, St. John chapter 6, verse 62. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, which is give life, make alive, to produce alive, beget, or bear living young. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words, which is rhemas, that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. How is that possible? That words can be spirit. Aren't words made from thoughts? And then when they're written down, they're letters or characters, depending on which language you speak in. But yet Jesus says that his words are spirit and they are life. So it must be more than just from a vocabulary of an individual. He says, the words that I speak into you, they are spirit and they are life. Now listen to this from Confirmation of the Commission. Brother Bam tells us in 1962, the Holy Spirit behind the word puts it into action and demonstrates the power that is promised. Listen carefully now. The Holy Spirit behind the word puts it into action and demonstrates the power that is promised. So there's a power promised with the scripture. But does the scripture say that you lay hands on the sick and then they shall recover? Is that a significance of a power? The power is intertwined in that word once it becomes rhema to you. as long as it's just Logos repeating it over and over and over and over again, it's wonderful. It's the Word of God, but it will not release the power until the faith of God takes that scripture and makes it real. The Holy Spirit behind the Word puts it into action. It don't ask it to go into action. The Holy Ghost puts the Word in action. And it demonstrates the power that it promised. Every blessing that God promised. Everything, notice now, everything that He said can be brought to life. If the Holy Spirit is behind the Word, because that's the thing that quickens the Word and gives it life. Amen. You believe that?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You today for the privilege, Father, of being here with Your children. Most of all, Lord, for the opportunity to be in Your presence and to call You our Father. We thank You for Your great grace that's been given to each of our hearts. We ask You today that You'd take Your Word and speak to us, Lord God. As we say it so many times, we are a needy people, but we know that our needs are so small compared to the great power that You have. So we want to bring our needs, our requests, our desires as petitions before our Father who loves to hear His children call upon His name. So may You minister to Your people today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. From that, I'd like to speak to you on the rhemas that I speak.
Amen.
The rhemas that I speak. Jesus, whenever He was here, He not only spoke rhemas, but He spoke and quoted a great deal of Logos in His ministry whenever He was here. But if you'll study the Gospels real close and actually start in the book of Acts and read through Acts and Romans and Galatians and Philippians and Colossians and on and on and on, you'll find out that many of the miracles of the New Testament were not just based upon people repeating Logos, but it was actually when something supernaturally was revealed that it made the Word so real to them that it quickened that Word, took it off the pages of the skins as they had it in that day. They didn't have books like this, but it actually took it off of those skins and made it so real to them and gave the Word life. And then there was many instances, especially in the New Testament, when they were not even dealing with written promises, because the New Testament was not even written at that time. So they were dealing with rhemas that was coming straight from the presence of God. Now you see what Satan has tried to do down through the centuries and the ages, especially in the after the Reformation coming up through the church ages, to make the church so dependent upon human intellectualism, to where that they think by reading the Word, memorizing the Word, listening to the Word, that they will by their intellect, which is another side of humanism, they will be able to take the Word and by that make the Word live and make the Word work. Now, they memorize it, they quote it, they study it, they paraphrase it, they got this version, that version, another version, another version, and it's only a humanism that tries to take the Word and make the Word work. Now, I'll tell you, friend, you may not want to believe it here today, but much of the times that you and I have tried to make the Word of God work, one of the reasons it hasn't is because it's been that very thing. It's been our humanism that we've tried to take and our confidence, not so much in the Word, but our confidence in what we think we know about the Word. So instead of us putting our confidence in the Word and believing God will bring it to pass, we place our confidence on how much we know. Well, I've been around this many years. I've done this. I know that. Well, you're not talking about the Word then. You're talking about you. So now if you can hear yourself, then go ahead and do it. All right? Anybody here today got power to hear yourself? Hear yourself, then come heal me. Anybody here save yourself? Anybody deliver yourself of bondage or sin or... Then why do we have confidence in our ability to know the Word? It's the vanity of the flesh again. But now, whenever it really becomes that the Word is made real to you and it's quickened by the Holy Ghost, what it does, it so makes it so real to us that we realize, no matter how much we study it, how much we know it, how much intellectually that we're able to grasp a hold of it and explain it intellectually and make it real, that we still do not have the power of dunamis to make that Word really do what God wants it to do. And then it strips away, now what it does, it produces the humility that is required
required to be associated with dunamis. It does not take humility to be associated with knowing logos. It does not take humility being associated with, you know, many of the intellectual aspect. But if we're going to go in a rapture and we're going to be moved with the power of God, He moves in one realm, humility. He does not move in pride. He does not move in arrogance. He does not move in how much I know, how much you know, how much we can quote. Come on, I don't get quiet on me already. That is our pride, our vanity, and our arrogance. But God moves in the way of humility. The way up is always down. And the higher we raise ourselves in our own sight, the farther we're getting away from God. And the more, friends, the more revelated that people say they are. It's amazing to me that the more revelated that people think they are, the more vain they become. The more revelated many people think they are, the more arrogant they become. Which tells me it's not real, true revelation. Because there's never a man that walked the face of the earth that had the revelation that Jesus had, and there was never a more humble man that you'd ever meet in your life. The second greatest man probably that we would think would be Brother Branham, that was allowed by God to experience visions and angelic visitations and revelations from God that would profound most men. And yet there was never a man that walked in such a way of humility. So Brother Branham's revelations did not make him arrogant or proud or smart aleck or know-it-all. Well, if it didn't do him that way, and that was the spirit the message was brought in, then I can't keep from having a question in my own heart, why then we supposedly get deeper and deeper and deeper, and the more arrogant and puffed up and smart aleck, come on now, don't get quiet. It ought to make us more humble. It ought to make us more dependent on the Spirit of God to realize we cannot do this on our own. No, we cannot. Notice this in the Easter seal. Now, it is the Spirit that quickens. It's not the Word that quickens. It's the Spirit that quickens the Word, or gives the Word life, gives it wings to fly. So the Word is so wonderful, it's so powerful, it's so relevant to the way that we live. But look, the Word without the Spirit quickening has no wings. What good is an eagle without wings? Now, feet are wonderful for eagles. They use them to fish. They use them to set on their nest. They use them to set on a rock. They use them to set on a tree as they're looking down through the valley and they're looking for prey. But you know what? Them feet can never be able to transport that eagle. The pages of the Word, the doctrines, all the things that it lays out is wonderful. But it takes the Holy Ghost to give the Word wings so the Word can fly. Don't you see that's the problem in many of our churches and many of us today? That we've got all kinds of feet. We got eagle claws. We got eagle beaks. We got eagle eyes. We're eagle all over from the top of our head to the bottom of our claws. But we ain't got no wings. We just sat around and we're crowing. I didn't know the eagles crowed. I thought that was roosters that crowed. So we sat around and crowed. Bless God, we're bigger than the Baptists. We know more than everybody else. I'll tell you one thing. You better get your wings, eagle. If you're going to go out of here in a rapture, you better be asking God for some eagle wings. Glory. It's the Spirit that quickens the Word or gives it life, gives it wings to fly, gives it access. It's the Spirit that does this. Now, let me say this for those of you that struggle. Maybe some of your sisters, you struggle with why a woman has to dress a certain way, why she has to have long hair, and she can't do this and can't do that. And you men, maybe you struggle with why we can't do this and why we can't go there. And some of you brothers, you may struggle why you can't wear shorts. I don't know why in the world you'd struggle that, you ugly outfits. It looks like to me any man with the knees that most men have would want to hide them, not show them. Maybe you should go to a psychiatric place and kind of check yourself out. You know, but nevertheless, if you do, I mean, I can't say that I've not been tempted in life. One of my temptations has sure not been showing these things right here. I guarantee you one thing, ain't nothing about my legs I want nobody to see. So some of you men that think you got such pretty ones, maybe you belong on the other side of the race or something. I don't know. But anyway, if you struggle with something that you hear preached in the Word, and you're looking at it and looking at it and struggling and struggling, you understand, it's not so hard just to ask God to make that real to you. Now, it doesn't always mean that God will give you all the wherefores and the whys, but sometimes it's just that settle something that this is my way, son. This is just the way I want it. And you realize, intellectually, when we try to argue about it and debate about it, well, I don't understand, this don't make sense, and I've tried to do this, and no, you're winding yourself farther and farther away from the real answer. So the thing is that we pray, God, help me, make this real to me, and give me a peace in my heart. I don't want to do anything that displeases Him. Do you? I don't think that Brother Branham came and told us we could do this and should do this and all that sort of thing in order to take anything from us as believers that would be beneficial for us. If wearing shorts to church would be beneficial, I would hide my pride. I would put something over my face and I'd come out and preach in shorts. Of course, y'all wouldn't be able to get nothing out of the service because you'd be looking at my white legs. Because my legs are white. Right. So if women wearing pants at church, if that gave them some spiritual something, I would say, women, that Wednesday night, all you women come to church in breeches. If coming to church and all doing this, if that would be beneficial to us, I do not believe the prophet of God would have ever brought those things to us to deprive us from God. Do you? No. He loved us, and so does God love us. So we may not understand all the wherefores of how it works, but if we go to God, God, I need help with this. I'm struggling. Why? I can't cut my hair. I'm struggling, Lord. Why? I can't use a little bit of makeup. Or I'm struggling with this or that. But whenever you go to ask people and you don't ask God, you'll always find somebody that'll agree with you. But remember, people is not the ones who's laid out this highway. It is Him. He is the one who built this church. He's the one who came down from heaven, and surely if He come down from heaven, He knows the way back up. The Pope has never been to heaven. I don't know of any person here that's ever been to heaven, so you couldn't really tell me how to get back unless you go by the format or the blueprint of Him who was in heaven, came down to the earth, went back to heaven, sent back the Holy Ghost, and sent back the gospel and said, this is what it takes to get back up here where I am. Simple enough, you'd think. Now, I want you to notice that in every church age, there was an elect, an ecclesia of God, that had the ability to hear a certain portion of God's word, the rhema portion of God's word, that only the elect can hear. Notice this in the Pergamene church age. I repeat, every church age ends with the same admonition. He that hath an ear, let him, an individual, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. The Spirit gives the word. He has the truth for each age. Each age has had its own elect, and the elect group always heard the word and received it, proving that they had the seed in them. Now notice, they had the seed in them. That's how they received the word. And then they received that word, not only intellectually, but they lived it. Now they did not become seed by hearing the word. They did not become seed by receiving the word. They were seed and therefore could receive the word. Well, is that what he said? St. John 8:47, he that is of God heareth God's words, ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. They refuse the word Jesus and his words for their day. But the true seed received the word because they were of God. Now, if you're able to receive the word of God, both Logos and Rhema, the day that you live in, you ought to be so grateful, because it means that you are of God. It does not mean that you was another species out there one day and you received the seed and that somehow changed you from a hog to a dove. No, it means that your name was on that Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, and that gave you the ability to hear the word even though your reasoning was totally against it. Your family was against it. The church you was in was against it. But the seed that you were by predestination had to accept that word, because it was word coming to word. If you ain't that friend, you'll never hear it. I don't care how much you want to. Jesus said the same thing in St. John 6:45. Being one with the word proves whether you are of God and spirit filled, no other criteria. Now, many people have the ability to hear and receive part of Logos, but he that is of God also receives Rhema. Not everybody can do that, of course. The Logos word is visible. The Logos word is sight. The Logos word can be read, it can be touched, it can by the senses be understood to a certain degree, but the Rhema word is the invisible part of Logos which is transformed by the Holy Ghost only. You see, no man, no preacher, no prophet, nobody else has the ability to take Logos and make you see it as Rhema. As we closed out the last service, I dealt with this a week before last, when Brother Bram said, I can teach you a truth, but only the Spirit of God can make it real to you. This is where a lot of the message folks are. They have been taught the truths by listening to preachers, by listening to tapes, by reading the books, and they think that's all they need. So they don't even ask the Holy Ghost to make it real to them. They think they're believers because they believe intellectually. Uh-oh. Praise the Lord. Now, when the Spirit then illuminates the Logos word and changes it from just being what something's written in a literal word, then He changes it from that to become a supernatural power of God. Now, with it, it's not just something that just, ooh, I saw something, ooh, I felt it. No, when the word becomes Rhema, it comes with that allotment of dunamis and actually the faith of God in that promise to make it happen. Now, when you and I intellectually, we embrace the Logos and say, well, the Word says this and the Word says that and the Word says that, and we use our intellectual faith. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it don't. Anybody here be honest and say that's happened to you? All the rest of you is liars. Y'all going to hell if you don't quit that. Now, you and I both know that we've tried things and we've tried and we've tried, and sometimes it works, sometimes it didn't. Remas never fail. Can't you see why Brother Bram said those visions never fell? Don't you see what the visions the prophet had were? They were remas from God. They were not logos. Many of his visions is not written down here in the Bible. They were remas. How could he stand there on the platform and say, your name is so-and-so. You've been to a doctor, heavy-set man, wearing glasses. I seen taking your chart out. He read this and this and this. You live on 123 Orange Street and so-and-so in New York. There's three steps that goes up to your front door. How in the world can that man say that? It's remas from God. That's not written in the Bible. It don't need to be. God was giving that person a word for them. Hallelujah. Now remember, Rhema will never, never be contrary to what's written. That's right. Watch this. And speak to the rock. Brother Bam says the gospel is not altogether the word. That is the word of God, and all things must be based upon this word. If it isn't, it isn't true. But Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, he didn't say, teach the word. What message, folks? Get quiet on you. You're going to read these quotes. He said, preach the gospel. So the gospel consists more than teaching the word. For Paul, confirming that, said the gospel came not in us in word only, but through power, demonstrations of the Holy Spirit would come and demonstrate the gospel and bring the word to a living reality. Why is it then that so many message folks are scared of demonstration? Want no demonstration in their churches at all. Want no emotion, no demonstration. Read the word, sing a few songs, preach a little bit, and go home. They want no demonstration. They don't want the gospel. They want the word, but they don't want the gospel. Oh, glory. Well, is this what he said? Now, watch this. If you just receive the word by knowing the word, how can a prophet of God make such a statement? Because it was true. If you just receive the word by knowing the word, that doesn't do you any good. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Then you must be born again. Then the Holy Spirit quickens the word to you. Praise the Lord. In other words, like a grain of corn. If it's laying in my hand, it's a grain of corn. It'll never be nothing else but bury it. It becomes contaminated, molds. Then it brings up another grain of corn just like it. You come to the church, the water of separation. That's all right. Hear the word. That's very good. You get separated from your sin. Now watch. We would describe this person right here as a great message person. They come to church. They hear the word. They actually get separated from their sin. But notice, he said, you get separated from your sin, but you go out with an intellectual faith. That's the reason you can't believe. Now wait a minute, you've got intellectual faith, but you can't believe? Friend, what do you figure all over the world in the last few days since the Islamic extremists have been going all over the embassies and of U.S. and different places and doing all they're doing? You understand why they do that? Faith. You said faith? Yeah. They believe they are right. And they believe you as an American, you are Satan. Of course, we believe the opposite. We believe they are. Under a satanic spirit anyway. But do they believe that? They do. Would any of you get on a plane and crash it into a building for the sake of the message? The message don't teach us that. Does it? Would any of you do what they do? Of course not. But they believe it down to bodily punishment. Well, what is that? Faith. Faith. But it's not the God faith. Many folks that went to the Baptist church today, the Methodist, different churches around here. Naturally, they believe they're right, Brother Larry. Or they'd go somewhere else. If they thought we were right, we wouldn't have enough room on this hill to pack all the people. But they think we're weirdos and we're a cult. So they have faith in where they go to church. Do they believe it? Just as much as you do. Just as sincere. Well, glory. Well, what have they received? An intellectual faith. I'm saved. I'm a believer. I have eternal security. I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. And you talk to them, boy, they can tell you exactly where they think they stand. And they have an intellectual faith. Now, I think for many years we felt like around the message we're exempt from that. But surely, to goodness, we're able to look around and realize we're not. We're no different than the rest of them. Now, that's the reason you can't believe. That's the reason you go back and sin. The way you do, the reason you can't hold up from one revival to another. Why do some of our young people get on fire at Louisiana and then in too much time they're backslid doing some of the same stuff they did before, worse? And then about a month before Louisiana camp, they get all fired up again. Yah, rah, 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 rah. All the cheerleaders get around them. Boy, we're going to camp. We're going to camp. I'm going to preach whether y'all say amen or not. Why? Intellectual faith. But brother, sister, if they ever get born again at that camp, they won't have to go back to camp to have revival. They'll bring revival back with them. Revival is not in Louisiana. Revival is not in Johnson City. Revival is in the heart of the bride. And you can have revival in this church, whether nobody else ever has one or not. Glory. Notice this. Well, I love the way he divides this. He said the reason you can't hold up from one revival to another, if you let that intellectual faith move down through your brains into your heart, then it becomes a reality with the new birth. Now when faith from the brain, from the intelligence is able to move down into the heart and that person has a new birth, it conceives a man child. Christ, the revealed word of the hour. Notice he says intellectual faith is all right. That's as far as the nominal Christian goes. He hears the word. He believes it. He has a mental conception of it. That's fine. We believe that, but notice when the man comes to the waters of separation, which was the word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word. We believe that. God wants us to believe it. That's part of it. But that's as far as he ever gets. He never gets into fellowship yonder. He comes to the water of separation, and when he comes to that part, he finds a mental conception. Now let's change it from the denomination and put it in the Message. God sent a prophet. And people grab that. Well, that makes sense. Abraham was a prophet. Isaac, Jacob, on, David. That makes sense. Well, my. This is what I've been searching for my whole life. God sent a prophet. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And they get a mental conception. Until they run across something they don't understand. Or something that looks like that he prophesied this and it didn't come to pass. There goes their mental conception. And most of them don't quit. They just find another mental conception. A new one. And then they put up a website, why I'm against the Message. Don't you know there's got to be folks like that around us? Glory. If I put up a website, it'd be why I'm against the devil. Not why I'm against the Message. Now notice, so a person comes to a mental conception. Yes, I believe it. Thinks in his mind, raises up his hands, accepts it. 20 days from there, he's back in the same rut he was in the first place. Because it's never went any further than his. Friends, a lot of our believers are Malachi 4 head believers. They're Logos Christians. I don't want to be just a Logos Christian. I want to be a Rhema walker. I want to be a Rhema Christian, or Christian that can live by the voice of God. Oh my. Listen to this. When God plants His promise in you and it becomes a living reality, then something is different. You just don't go up and say, yes, I believe it. That's all right. The devil believes it. Like that. The devil is a Malachi 4 believer. He's a Luke 17 believer, a Revelation 10 believer. He knows it by experience. He dealt with this prophet. He knows what kind of man he is. The devil may tell you he didn't live right. The devil couldn't say that in all honesty because he met him. Glory. These demons that he challenged for years in his ministry, they know whether he is a devil or not. They might have tried to tell you he is a false prophet, but they're scared to death of that gift. If Brother Bam was a false prophet, how come them devils were scared of him? Come on. Somebody stand on the platform with cancer and he'd stand there and watch him. You got cancer, so wait a minute, something happened here. There's another person out there. I see it. There it is. A dark streak going from this person to that person. That person's got cancer too. And that spirit's crying for help. Why? Scared. The devil was scared. Dumb devil. You imagine this devil saying, no, don't go there. You're going to tell on both of us. So one comes out there to get delivered and two got delivered. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because the devil was afraid of that gift in the presence of God. And if he was afraid of that gift, what about this word? This word is more powerful than the gift. But if it's confirmed to you and the word becomes alive in you, then you begin to see what it is. Notice this. I love this. There you are. The Spirit quickens the word. It's the Spirit, not the creed. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost quickens the word to you and becomes alive. There you are. You see it. By faith you see it. You know it so because the word said so. And the Spirit quickens the word to you. You ever look at those pictures and different things where they embed a name or they hide a picture? You've seen the one of Jesus where they use the straight sticks and all that. And you look at it and you look at it and you look at it and you just can't see it. And somebody who has seen it will point it out to you. And there's the J and the E. Oh my goodness. As you look at it from that point on, that's all you can see. Now you see, someone helped you and made that real to you. Because you was looking right at it. It wasn't that you saw one more stick than they saw, or they saw two more than you saw. You was looking at exactly the same thing, but your focus was wrong. You ever get these emails where they jumble up the words and they leave out some of the vowels and some of the consonants and all that, and yet your brain, you know, certain people who have the ability of sitting there and reading those words, and they are so jumbled that there's absolutely hardly any way you can recognize. You ever get those? I'm the only red bird that gets them. It's phenomenal because I can read them. Uh-oh. Maybe that's why I get them, because they think I'm weird. But once you go through that, you say, oh my, I can see it. I can see it. Other people can sit out there and hear the word. I don't like that at all. Well, that was so boring. What was he even trying to say? And you're saying, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. And they're saying, what in the world was wrong with you? I saw it. I saw it. I saw what he was saying. What? The Spirit of God quickened it to you and left it logos to them. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the rhema of God. So faith does not come by hearing logos. Or repeating logos. Or reading logos. Faith comes by hearing rhema. Huh. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. Let's read something if you would. On the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. This is speaking of Jesus. Seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now they go into town, do a few things, come back out, verse 19. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Jesus answering saith unto him, have faith in God. Now actually, when Jesus answers this, in the language that it's written in, it is literally, have the faith of God. Not have faith in God, that you, an outsider, would believe in this great object of creator or worship, and you being outside of him would be able to believe in him. But Jesus says, have the faith of God. Now why, how would this tie to what they just saw? Now notice Jesus did this by a rhema word from God. Because there was no written scripture in the Old Testament or prophecy that said this would happen. But he receives a rhema word from God, and with that comes dunamis and the very faith of God himself. Now whenever he speaks, it goes directly. Notice how whenever Matthew wrote this down, or Mark rather, when he wrote this down, that he said it had dried from the roots up. God did not send a lightning bolt. God did not send somebody out there with a mattock to dig it up. But the rhema of God went directly to the life source. The rhema did not break off the branches because the tree could have lived again. But the rhema of God went to a realm which was invisible. The natural eye could not see the roots. How did Mark know it went to the roots? Now, watch this. So Jesus says, have the faith of God. Full, perfect, effectual faith. Faith like a grain of mustard seed. Now remember, this was based on a rhema word, not a logos word. Now notice this in super sense. Brother Ben said Jesus passed by a tree one time and it was a fig tree. He looked at the fig tree. Now please don't miss this. He looked at the fig tree and there's no figs on it. He said, he cursed the tree and said, no man eat from thee. The disciples looked around. The tree looked like it always did. An hour from then, it looked the same. Listen. Intellectual faith will look at that and say, nothing happened. But Rhema word with the faith of God knows it will happen. Whether you feel any different, whether you see any different, that has nothing to do with it. You've now tapped into the faith of God. Friends, this is why when folks get prayed for, something happens in their life. Oh, I feel so much better. Praise the Lord. I know I'm healed. I know I'm healed. And then they get said, oh God, I lost my healing. I lost my healing. You understand what it is? Intellectual faith. The faith of God has the ability to believe and watch the promise run its full course. Intellectual faith can't stand it. It'll run out. Oh no, oh no, oh no, it ain't going to happen. But the faith of God said it will, it will. As a matter of fact, it'll say it has, it has. But you see, when we cut ourselves off from supernatural administration of Rhema, this is what it produces in our lives. Isn't any wonder our churches are dead? We operate them by logos. Everything we do, many of them, is by logos only. People live a logos life and they try to talk logos talk. And they totally Rhema out of their lives. It becomes a bigger reproach than if you're sitting on a bar stool being a drunk smoking a cigar. Notice God never opened up the earth and swallowed it up. God never sent a forked lightning out of the skies and burned it to charcoal. He could have done it. He sure could. He never done those things. What happened? The tree had been cursed. Now listen how this happens. The face of God had been placed against that tree's life. Can't you understand that a person, if they had a cancer in their body today, and the faith of God would drop in that woman's heart or that man's heart. And they would place the faith of God against the life of that cancer. They could go to the doctor and the doctor would say this and that and the other. It wouldn't make one bit of difference. They may not see one leaf wither. The branches may not fall down. They may not droop. But the faith of God has anchored. Can't you see what the rapture is going to be? It makes no difference how old I get, how ugly I get, how wrinkled I get, how ugly you get. It don't matter. The faith of God says I will be changed by the power of God. And there will be a resurrection. So the face of God had placed against that tree's life. Can't you see how we approach things differently in the spiritual realm than do doctors dealing with a disease or a cancer or a tumor? They want to go in there and try to remove the thing if they can. Thank God for all that they can do. But if one or two or a half a dozen or a dozen of those cells hide and that doctor can't see it, 6 months, a year, you're right back where you was. But the faith of God don't attack the leaves. It don't attack a branch. The faith of God goes right to the root. And the faith of God stands right up against that root and said, you are dead. Glory. Ooh. Hallelujah. You are dead. Outside the leaves are so beautiful and green or yellow, whatever they are, and the bark, nothing's falling off. But faith is standing against that life. Friends, don't give up because you pray for your children and they get worse. Don't give up because you pray for your husband and he gets worse. Let the faith of God stand against the root of your problem. Don't just deal with the outside. Don't deal with what you can see, but let the faith go to the very cause of it. Hallelujah! Some of us, if we'd have said that, we'd went to the garage, to our building out back, got the mattock or the axe, chainsaw, come back and we'd help God along. That's you, devil. Jesus didn't need no axe, no hatchet. Faith, glory to God. The faith of God stood against the life in those roots. the life might hide from a doctor, might hide from a CT scan or a mammogram or all kinds of tests, but he can't hide from the faith of God. The faith of God will snoop out, as I can say it that way, every cell. It hides behind here and hides behind that, and the faith of God, okay, ah, you're gone, ah, you're gone, ah, got you. They run and runs up for the lymph nodes, ah, got you. Runs down to the liver, ah, got you. Why? The faith of God. But you see, we can't do this. Would we let any of our brothers and sisters die by cancer? I wouldn't, as a pastor. Absolutely not. I'd deliver everyone up. I'd heal everyone if I had the power to do it. I don't want to see him suffer. I don't want to see him sick. But you see, the faith of God is not controlled by us. If it was, we'd never let anybody go. Is there anybody you'd want to see die by cancer? You need to be saved if they are. I wouldn't want nobody. I'd go through the medical center tomorrow. I'd pray for every one of them. Let every one of them walk out. But then I'd get in a mess of trouble. You see, there's some that God said, no, your life is finished. I want you to come on home. Come on home. Cancer may take them. A car wreck may take them. And God will never release the faith of God to do them and deliver them if it's His will for them to come home. Don't you see? We have no control of this faith of God. But I can't ask my daddy when I need it. He likes to hear his children cry. Notice the faith of God had placed against that tree's life. There was nothing physical you could see. Logos, intellectual faith, would say, I don't feel no better. Oh my goodness, it's worse today. Oh no. Well, that thing is, it's even put out more blossoms, ain't it? Since yesterday. Well, it looks like it's still alive. But faith was against life of the tree. But where is it? Invisible. So you can't take a page of the Bible and rip it out. And let's put one down this hole by the root. And let's rip another page out and stick it out. Let's rip it down. But Rima is invisible too. So Rima can go into an invisible realm and attack a life that is invisible to your eyes. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. A demon that's binding you, a spirit of oppression or whatever it is, and you try to use Logos. But Rhema can go down into your soul, down into the troubled regions of your spirit, and attach to that and say, I withstand you. You see, friends, many of our troubles, many of them are not physical anyway. They only manifest themselves in a physical way. You imagine a person being called out by the prophet. And he tells them, you got severe constipation. Troubles you, bothers you. And he said, the cause of it is, you have a fear of wintertime. A phobia, he said, of wintertime. Now imagine that person might have tried to take laxative or eating fiber or doing this and that and the other. And a doctor would never associate a fear or a phobia of that manifesting itself in a tangible realm of constipation. Don't you see what the faith of God did? The faith of God went to the root of the problem. Brother Bremden Teller, go buy a box of X-Lax or eat three apples a day or eat you some more fiber or do this and that. He went to the very cause. Amen. Listen to me. I'm not a prophet and there ain't one alive among us today. But the word is still a discerner of the thoughts. And if you'll come to the house of God, say, Lord God, speak to me. I lay my life out on the table. Stand me by your word. Speak to me, Lord. Go to the root of my problems. I don't want to deal just with the effect. I want to go to the cause of it. Things that you and I would never associate together. Man comes up before him and tells him, you're poor. You've not been able to work. You've been sick. Well, I say what it is. You're a mechanic. You got carbon monoxide poisoning working on a car and you're afraid to go back to work. You need to go back to work, but you're afraid to go back to work. So the faith of God didn't go so much to the poisoning itself, but the fear it left. And the face of God goes right to the fear and he says, go, my brother, go back to your work. Don't you see, friend? And you always sat and diagnose our call. Oh, my, you know how it is with the internet. I mean, every symptom we got, we go, oh, Lord, oh, I'm schizophrenic, 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 schizophrenic. I mean, they got so many words and I don't know what they even all are. And you diagnose yourself. You say, oh, Lord, have mercy. I must be a maniac, whatever them acts are. You know, we got all kinds of acts. So I must be some kind of something. Oh, God, oh, God. You better not claim them things. You better be careful when you're out there looking on the internet. You might be signing up for something. Come on now, what we need is Rima. Rima to the go, to the very cause of many of our problems. What's this? The face of God had placed against that tree's life, and there was nothing physical you could see. But way down beneath the earth, down in the roots of the tree, death was setting in. Amen. Do you think it's any more difficult today for the faith of God to attack a cancer or a tumor or something and go down beneath where it's laying, laying in the invisible realm, and the faith of God stand right there against that demon and say, I challenge you. And the faith of God to say to that demon, I command you to die.
Hallelujah.
Isn't it amazing how Brother Ram turned back, that death started setting in, which means it didn't happen all at one time. Friends, don't you see? There's a great difference in miracles and divine healing. Miracle might happen like that. Divine healing might take you months to get over something. And people say, oh, I'm not getting no better. I'm just gradually getting better. Thank God you're getting better. Thank God that maybe the way God wants it takes much more long, persistent faith in divine healing than it does a miracle. People think people have miracles, they've got greater faith. No, they don't. They may have a big abundance right now, but a man that can stand there week in, week out, month in, month out, there's a man that has persistent faith. And the faith of God will stand right there when death sets in and say, I'm healed. I don't care what my body says. Notice this. Way down beneath the earth and the roots of the tree, death was setting in. It had been cursed. The sixth sense had come against it. It had to die. It started dying from the roots. Notice again, it was the sixth sense that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you know what's going to raise you? The sixth sense. Well, you say, but I'm no, it's, once you get the true Holy Ghost, it never leaves you. It's yours even when you're in a theophany. Glory to God. I said it's yours when you're in a theophany. He laid in the ground because he believed the word of God said, destroy this body and I'll raise it up on the third day. For David said, I'll not leave my Holy One to see corruption. Neither will I leave his soul in hell. It was that super sense. Cast down the reasonings of these senses. Believe the super sense. The sense of faith that Jesus Christ lived. By that same message. Oh, listen to this. By the same message now that God brought to us. By the same truth. By the same sense. God spoke when there was nothing. The origination of the super sense is from God. He said, what's the super sense got to do with Rima? Same thing. Matter of fact, Brother Bam said, when a man gets converted, he starts looking toward God. He said, he becomes like a Superman. I thought, Lord, have mercy on her. I read that the other day, the original Superman. Amen. Oh, glory. He don't go into a phone booth. He goes into a thought pattern from the mind of God, what he was before the foundation of the world. We don't go into a phone booth and change our clothes. Oh, now we go into a time capsule and come out a creature of eternity. We reflect that which we were from the beginning. Why? Because the super sense lives in our soul. Notice this. God spoke and there was nothing. What is that sense? That super sense is God. The faith The faith of God in you. Friends, you understand why the Muslims act the way they do? Their leader was that way. For those of you who have never read the Quran or read the history of Muhammad, do you good sometime. They are in the very spirit of their message. Kill, destroy, rape, mutilate. That's what the Quran teaches. Now there's some of the watered down message Quran believers that have watered it down. Oh, it don't mean that. It don't mean that. But the real believers, they're acting out the spirit of Muhammad. And the real bride believers of this message are acting out the spirit of Christ. Amen. I don't want to be just a message follower. I want to be an image of Jesus Christ. Notice this, the super sense of God, the faith of God in you, the part of God that comes into you and gives you the super sense. By the same super sense, God framed the world together with things which was not and did appear. He spoke His word and believed His word, and a world shook into existence. So God had to have faith. But it wasn't intellectual faith. It was dunamis power. Watch this in Matthew chapter 8 verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion, beseeching Him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Can you imagine what those Jews thought? A Roman centurion. They had taken away their liberty. They had taken away their nationality. They had taken away so many things. And Jesus is going to go into the house of this Roman dog? The Jews are not even allowed to break bread with Gentiles. And Jesus is actually invites Himself to go to this Roman centurion's house. Boy, some of the message folks that have blowed their wigs. Sisters, hair pieces have been flying everywhere, and brothers have been flying everywhere. A man alive, they'd have blowed their tops, wouldn't they? Bless God, the prophet Moses said. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the Logos only, and my servant shall be healed. And remember, he's a Roman. He doesn't fully understand the word, but he understands authority. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Now notice, authority, understanding authority ties in your understanding to faith. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I've not hardly found this kind of faith in the message. Can you imagine how they felt? They look worse than some of y'all looking at me now. Jesus turns around and said to these prophet followers, I've not found faith like this in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, the Jews, shall be cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Now Jesus stayed and didn't say, not as I have said, not as it is written in the word, not as the prophet of God said this, and Moses said that, and the priest said that, but as you, Lord of mercy, as thou hast believed. What did he believe? He didn't really say. How did he really say? Oh, he said, I believe, Lord, I believe that you can do this. But he didn't go into details. Well, I believe if you do this and this and this and this, then this and this and this will happen. So you mean Jesus committed
discharge of this divine supernatural event to this man's own faith. Why? He understands authority. Lord Jesus. Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Now notice in the Greek words, whenever this is written here, the writer, when he catches, now the Greek is a very different language, of course, and English and Spanish and every other language has its own differences, you know. So in the Greek, there is moods as well as in Spanish and as well as in the English. So there's certain words that we would say like this. So if a person was angry, or if they were more angry, we would use another word, or we'd add an adjective onto that word to make it more, you know, impressive. So is the Greek language. Now whenever they write this down, these words, as so be it unto thee, in the Greek, it is what they call the imperative mood, or the mood of command. So it's not just a passive type of, okay, go ahead and get whatever you want. But when Jesus responds, he responds in a tenor or in an expression of command. Lord have mercy. So from his mouth is coming the rhema, which releases to this man's faith the dunamis. This rhema out of the mouth of Jesus will unite with this man's faith, and with it will come the power of God to make it happen. Oh Lord have mercy. It won't just be him going back quoting it, but out of the very mouth of Jesus himself come the very dunamis of God, the power of God. Praise the Lord. He didn't walk back with just a quote under his arm. He had the power of God by the commission. In the mood of command. I'd say if we could say in the supernatural realm, devils are running plumb out of the way, getting out of the way. Lord, here he comes. Now listen, friends. The face of the centurion had now been joined with the inherent ability of the power of God. So he goes by command. Go! And as you believe, it will happen. This man is not acting on logos because he does not have a written scripture. But he's acting on rhema. And rhema comes with inherent power. Lord God have mercy. Real faith has authority. Intellectual faith can be passive. Intellectual faith can be pushed around. But Brother Raymond says faith, I'll just use his Kentucky terms, faith has hair on his chest. Intellectual faith is just a sissy, I guess. It's Tarzan swinging on a shoestring instead of a grapevine, so to speak. Real faith is a real Tarzan man. This is intellectual faith. You gonna swing on the vine? Oh, I'm scared of vines. Faith looks at the devil, demons, doctors, everybody else right in the face and say, out of my way. I'm planning for a healing. The doctor said, boy, you better be planning for no funeral. Uh-uh, not yet. Faith of God is against the roots. The faith of God is against the roots of my problem. I've been drinking, I've been doing this and that and the other, and I've tried to apply the word intellectually, but this morning the faith of God is coming against the very root of my depression. The faith of God is coming against the very root of my pornography. The faith of God is coming against the very root of my problems, and I've got his command. Go! And it will be as you believe. Oh, glory to God! It will happen while you receive inherent power. Lord Jesus, help us, God, please. Look at what is embodied in what Jesus says. Go thy way as thou hast believed. so be it done to me. So God's inherent authority goes with this man's faith to command the circumstances to become what he wishes for them to become. Now let's crow. How many of us can do this? We talk about our third pull, our thunders, our seals, all this, that, and the other. But friends, when it comes to changing our body, which one of these doctrines will do it? Notice again, Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." When he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Now notice there's no stipulation of saying their eyes will come open. They just come and say, look what they say to him. "Lord, whenever that son of David, have mercy on us." They didn't ask for their sight. They said, "I want to go back to work. I want to get a job." They said, "Have mercy on us." For what? They didn't say. Did they? Have mercy on us. Friends, I want you, I hope you understand what I'm saying, that God committed. Now remember, these examples are Rhema examples. That God committed to these people that were not even born again. The outcome of what would happen, He committed it to them. Now if they'd asked for mercy and they wanted, you know, more people to go by their begging posts, "Oh please Lord, I don't want to be healed, but would you just send more people my way today, would you?" Well, if that's your faith, then so be it unto you. Don't you see what happened to these men was relative to their faith and believing what God could do. How much ever they could believe, they could have. If they only wanted a few more people by their begging post, that's what would have happened to them, Brother Jim. But both of them somehow tied into the rim of God. And Jesus didn't even say they could be healed with their eyes. He just says, "Believe you that I'm able to do this." And they said, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Now this Greek phrase is the imperative mood in the Greek language. In reality, Jesus tells them their faith commanded the circumstances that blinded them to change and line up to normal vision. Lord Jesus. So they take a hold of these remas and they walk out of there somehow without the Holy Ghost, without a new birth. But don't you see, remas, it's not based upon you or me. It's based upon an allotment of divine sovereignty that releases to you. It might be the weakest time in your life and your faith is right on the very bottom. Don't you see, remas are not based upon your faith. Remas come with His faith. It's the Word that's quickened to you. And it's got that portion of God's faith mixed with that portion of dunamis. How can it stop? Lord Jesus. Your faith has commanded the circumstances that blinded you to leave you and to return to normal vision. And here we are with the greatest message that's ever hit the earth. And we've got hundreds and thousands of believers going to church, setting bounds with habits, sicknesses, diseases. Terrible things. Terrible things. Because they are walking a humanistic logos walk of the message. And then they get disappointed, discouraged. "I don't work. It don't work." And the truth of what they're saying, there is a truth to that. I've tried. It don't work. That don't mean Rhema don't work. Many people are being honest and say, "Well, I tried. It just don't work. I tried. I just give up. It don't work for me." Well, it'll work if you get connected in the right channel. And here these men walk away. Was it days? Was it months? We don't know. But all of a sudden that rhema word cometh the very dunamis from the spoken word of God himself. And connected with their faith. And Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you.
Amen.
However you believe. If you believe for one eye will come open. If you believe for partial vision out of one eye, full out of the other, whatever you believe. Amen. Connect. Here's dunamis. Here's my faith. And it will move according to the connection on your part. I release, Lord, children, I release to you everything you need to walk into the fullness of this. But it will connect with your faith. Going to read one more. Matthew 15:25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Not me. Not what I will. Lord, what is this, friend? Rhema? Yeah. This is a rhema of God?
Yeah. Amen.
O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Don't you see why? She willed it. Brother Tim preached to us last night about the Father's will. Here's a person without the Holy Ghost. Ain't even born again. If she would have willed it in a week. If she would have willed it in a month. But she willed it then. So she made up her mind. Why wait any longer? I want it now. And the dunamis come with the rhema and the faith of God. And this woman's little faith. Oh man, let me say not little, great. This woman's faith coupled with this release of rhema from the mouth of Jesus. And he puts the whole jurisdiction in her court.
Hallelujah.
Say it. Remember when it fell down in the room with the little Hattie Wright? Look friends, let's make sure we have the goods. Look at some of these people happened to. Wasn't intellectuals, wasn't great smart alecks. It was people that humbly believed the word. Listen to him. Glory! Oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Your faith has commanded the circumstances to line up and to submit to what you desire. Lord Jesus. We'll get into it, Lord willing, next weekend. Brother Raymond says, you know, Sunday we get into it. When God speaks, it has to be so. There's no way at all to get away from it. God said, let there be. It has to be. The very word itself, the word was a thought. And before a word is an expression of a thought, God thought it in his mind, spoken into existence. We have faith in our heart. The faith of God in our heart. And we see it clear. It becomes a faith. Then we speak it. And it comes into existence. The same thing. Because the mind of Christ is in the man. That's what makes healings and so forth. When you get that perfect revelation. Just what you're doing. Then you know how to walk. That's it. Because that's the Christian walk. But you see, these are Rhema Christians. The Logos Christians are the intellectual faith believers on the other side. And because they are that, they pride themselves in what they know. The preacher will say something wrong. They'll, you know, leave out the wrong verse or say the wrong name or something like that. And in their pride, their vanity, they'll, you know, he said that wrong. And they think that's something. It is. It really is pride.
what good does it do you? But can Jesus commit to you without any boundaries of Scripture about a certain situation and say, whatever you say? I take the boundaries away. Whatever you will about this situation. You say, that's nonsense, is it? Had it right? Didn't think so. You sure couldn't have told her no different. Brother Bam, what should I ask? You're poor. Uh-oh. You mean God's going to drop a bunch of money in her lap? That's what she asked you would. God ain't a counterfeiter either. I don't know where he got it at, but he'd have got it somewhere. Your mom and daddy are old. Lord, children, do you see what was there in that room? The power of God to change her mom and daddy back to a young man and a young woman. You're poor, you're this or that or the other. Her boy's sniggering then. Brother Bram, the greatest desire of my heart is to see my two boys saved. What if Almighty God would drop down in this room right now and speak to every one of us and say, it'll be the way you say. Could he trust us with that? Or does our own behavior send him messages constantly that he cannot? We don't know how to use what little bit we've got, many of us. What will we do with this? Remember, these are not theologians. As you say, as you believe, as you will it. And somehow he released their dunamis, his dunamis, to unite with their faith. And the circumstances were created out of their mouths. Maybe that little woman walked away. Thank you, Jesus. By the time I get back home, my daughter will be delivered. There goes the power of God into the room with this daughter's grievous defects of the devil. And them demons is running, screaming out of there. It wasn't this woman's voice. It was dunamis. Acting by a rhema from God. So why do you think it's so difficult for the resurrection and the rapture then? When the rhema will come from God one morning, let it be today or whatever he'll say. And all of a sudden, our bodies will respond. Out of the dust of the earth, millions times millions. But it's only for Rhema Christians. How many wants to be a Rhema Christian? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray today, Father, that you'd help each of us. Lord, as I sat and looked at these things today, I shook and quivered. Lord God, please help us, Father. We want to study the Logos. We want to know your word. We want to read. We want to listen to tapes. We want to fill our spirits with these things. But may it not become a humanistic religion to us, to where that we in our pride and our vanity, we think we can make things move by our intellectual faith. Intellectual faith can do things, sure. It can swing pendulums, it can do various things, burst glasses, it can do all kinds of things like that. But it can't change a body. It can't bring us what we're really hungering for. Help us, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, forgive me. Lord, if walking just a Logos life. Fill me, Lord Jesus, with your presence. I may not be the kind of person that you could trust a great deal with these things. But I'd never want to stand in the way of some you could. May we as our church never have the attitude, well, if God's going to do anything, he'll do it right here and it'll come from here first. May we get that away from us, Lord. May we just be so grateful for any little thing you do for us. It don't have to be from here. It don't have to come from here. We're nothing. We're nobody. Only thing we can receive from you, we raise our heads and say, thank God for grace. Help us, Lord Jesus, to walk a rhema life. A spirit-filled, spirit-led, intimate walk of fellowship. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I wonder today, I want to offer a word of prayer for you. If you're sick,
Maybe you've got a need in your body. Maybe you're oppressed. Maybe you're fighting depression, oppression, mental sickness or physical, or your job, psychological. We know we're in tough economic times. The Lord's mindful of us even in that. Whatever your need is today. Maybe you in your own faith, you've asked and you've asked and you've asked. Why don't you ask Him for His faith today? Brother Bam tells us our faith will run out so far and then it comes to its end. Then in the subconscious from there, the supernatural faith will come in. When you let your faith run to its end, he said, till you begin to believe, then your subconscious goes to acting. Then the faith of God will back it up. Then you go right on out, see, because your faith won't do too much. Your subconscious has to move in the direction that your faith is moving. Then God's faith moves in behind and confirms it all. Would you raise your hand to Him signifying a need in your life? Amen. Hallelujah. My sister stands here today at this altar, Father, with a need. Her hands are raised up like these hundreds of people standing in this building, Lord God. I lay my hands on her and I join my faith with her and with them. Ask You for Your help. Lord, You know her need now, Lord God. I pray that You'd minister to her today, Father. It's written in Your word, Lord God. If any two on earth agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. Lord God, move for my sister today, I pray. Grant it, Lord. May the power of God minister to her. Then, Lord Jesus, I pray for the rest of these. Those that will be streaming the service, Lord, in different parts of the earth. Lord God, may they not hear just Logos. But may they hear that same Jesus as He spoke to the two blind men. May they hear that same Jesus as He spoke to that woman that day and said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. May they hear that same Jesus speak to them today, Lord God, and may their faith be coupled with that rhema word. May it be joined with the power of God to bring that word to pass, the dunamis of God. Lord, help us, forgive us for depending on our intellectual faith, thinking, Lord God, that we know so much and we can do so much. Forgive us, Lord. We confess our weakness before You today. We confess our vanity, Lord. We ask You for Your help, Lord God. We asked as a man that day, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Lord, we don't want to just quote the prophet. We don't want to just quote the message, quote the Bible. But Father, we want to make the word live in our everyday lives. We want to be the kind of Christians that You could commit Your word, Lord, that it could be coupled to our faith. Oh God, are we that kind of people today? Are we that kind of people in this place that You could say, as Your faith is, so be it unto You. You take away the boundaries. You take away the limitations. And You so trust us that You commit the outcome of situations into the declaration of our own faith. Lord God, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to have a character, Lord, that we can be that kind of people. Grant it, I pray, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Harry, let's sing, Only Believe. Do you believe that same Jesus is in this building right here today? Do you believe His power is the same? Or is it watered down? Has He lost some of His power somehow? You mean you believe He's exactly the same yesterday, today, and forever? Then what would be the hindrance? The only hindrance would could be us. Somehow that we can't release it. Oh my, if we can only believe Him, friends. Let's sing it together, would you, just before we go. Let's worship Him a little. Only believe. All together now. Only believe. All things. Yes, Lord. Only God, only believe. Yes, Father God. Now let's change it and make it personal. Lord, I believe. Sing it together now. Oh, hallelujah, everybody. Lord, I believe. Oh, Lord, I believe.
Saints, I love you in the Lord. See you Wednesday night. Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe.
Hallelujah.